I want to talk to you today about 2020. Don't you love this year? And so, but I have good news for you. Would you like to know what the good news is? And it's not that it's almost over, although it is. But our very calendar, do you know that it says, God bless you. Thank you for serving in the house of the Lord. AD is on our calendar. Do you know what AD means? Yes, thank you. It stands for Anno Domini. Did I say it right? I'm probably messing that. I said it right. Cindy Taylor, if she said I said it right, it's good. What does it mean? It means in the year of the Lord. Well, I want you to know that I don't care what the coronavirus says. I don't care what the riots in the street are portraying. I don't care how horrible of things that we have gone through this year are, and the trials and the testings are here. I am here to announce to you that it's still AD. It is the year of the Lord. We're coming into 2021. I'm already in 2021. This always happens to me around October. And I'm already in 2021, and I'm going to announce to you, it is the year of the Lord. We're in the year of the Lord, and we're going into the year of the Lord, and it's always going to be the year of the Lord until He returns to take us home to be with Him, because it is AD, and there was a demarcation period. That when the calendar shifted, why did the calendar shift? Because of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is alive, we're still walking in the year of the Lord if we declare that we're in the year of the Lord. I don't think you understand. We don't have to fear. We're not helpless. It's still the year of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He is with us, nothing is impossible. It's not impossible for you because He's in you. When He is with us, we can face anything because we never have to face it alone. We never have to face it alone. There's no situation, and we sang it and sang it again, there's no situation that is beyond His miraculous intervention. Amen. So we've entered into this space and time where Jesus had already paid the price to bring the necessary change for us to overcome the enemy, to walk in the newness of life with a real purpose. All we need is awareness of what He did on the cross, and when He died and shed His blood, He covered our sins and He gave us newness of life. He offered us a brand new way of living. He offered us a fullness of life. And so this is not the year of death. Everybody says it's not the year of death. Because the coronavirus isn't going to have the final say. It's not going to have the final say. God had the final say with His Son. And so He has given permission for us to be aware that He is in our life, transforming us, and He's still speaking and releasing the words of life to us. You see, we're not just sitting in a church. We are the church. Okay, I'll say that again. We're not just sitting in a church. I'm glad you're here, though. But we're not just sitting in a church. We are the church. How many of you know that? We're comprised of different personalities, and therefore, we aren't bored. Praise the name of the Lord forever, okay? We have many different giftings, but all of those giftings are going to come alive. All of the giftings that we have on the inside, some of you know what your giftings are, and some of you don't know what your giftings are, but God has given each one of us gifts. He gave gifts to men. And God is going to highlight what your gifts are so that as you praise him, they're going to come alive. As you understand and you reverence him and honor him, and we return to honoring the God of our fathers, he is going to awaken those gifts that are on the inside of us, because he wants us to become the church that is needed. And I need you and you need me. And whether you like my personality or not, it doesn't matter. I like you too, Susie. Some people like me and some people don't, and that's okay. It doesn't matter if you like me. It doesn't even like if you like the way that I preach. It just matters that you reverence the God in me as I reverence the God in you. Amen? Because this is a mutual admiration society that God has created. He has got our attention, and even though the enemy came and he meant it for bad, God has used it for good, because that is our God. That is what he does. And so, yes, he put us in houses. Yes, he took away all the frivolities. Yes, he took away all the stuff. Satan came to cause division. But in what he did, God came to bring unity. Because you know what? We know we need each other more than we ever did. There is something about being together in the house of the Lord. There is something to understand that we are living in the season and the year of the Lord. It doesn't matter what happens around us if we are together and we are fighting for what is right and fighting for what is good. Do you know that you make a difference? It's not, listen, I know people look to ministers and that's nice. But you know, ministers are just people. But they're just called of God. Do you believe that? Okay, God put a structure in the church, the fivefold ministry gift. That's why I was gone 2 weeks ago. I was at Abundant Life watching Abundant Life honor Bishop for the 50 years of ministry. 50 years of ministry. And as I sat there, oh, I just loved it. It was my favorite thing I think they've ever done. And they went all the way back to precious Bishop Woody, who started the ministry because God told him to go to Margate, where there was nobody serving the Lord at the time, out of a denomination. And he just said, he didn't even have a car that worked. He had to ride a bus to go to Margate and talk to people in the street. And so he just obeyed the Lord. Do you hear me? He just obeyed the Lord. If you saw Abundant Life today and you saw the thousands of people in the auditorium, but you also saw the multitude of thousands of people that they have touched all over the world, you would know that it is supernatural that we are a part of that. Do you know that? I went to Abundant Life when I was young. My kids were young. Teresa went to youth group. Eric went to below youth group. I don't know what they called that at the time. I went to every class they offered. I went to everything that they offered for me to grow in God. I went through their school for 2 years. I just couldn't get enough. You know why? Because God was present and I was a hungry person. Give me everything that God has. I want everything that God has, and God is looking for those people again. And so while I was sitting there and I was watching Bishop and I was listening to the transparency that he had, I was listening to the fact that he loved God, was raised in a Christian home. You know, sometimes it's the hardest for the people raised in a Christian home to stay Christian. Because you know, it's what your parents told you to do. And you know, we don't want to do it because our parents told us to do it. We're like tired of our parents. We don't even like them anymore. You get to that age, you're just like, they annoy me. And so he went off to college and he decided he wasn't going to serve God for a while. And then he came home one day and there was an acquaintance of his. And he was saying, you know, I went to college and they're telling me all this stuff and they're confusing me about, you know, why we're even here. And you know, here's Bishop, who was just Rick Thomas at the time. And he said he knew that he needed to talk to him about the Lord, but he didn't talk to him about the Lord because he was backslid. And he felt like, how can I be a testimony when I'm not even able to testify of my own life? And so he said nothing to him. And so the next time he came home, his mother said, I need to talk to you. And she put a newspaper article in front of him, and it was his friend who had taken his own life. And Bishop said, it's never happening again, not on my watch. I'm never going to not tell somebody the truth of Jesus Christ and of his power to transform a life, to transfer someone out of one kingdom into another, one person. I don't know where he is now. But there won't be another that will at least not hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from that point on, he set himself before the Lord. He faced obstacles of every kind. I mean, obstacles that he had nothing to do with. I mean, people who stole money from him, who lied, who took money from the church, who said that he was in cahoots with a bank that made falsified papers, that stole millions of dollars from Abundant Life, and he had to tell his people, you know all that land we thought we bought? We didn't. And they stood. And they stayed together. Because when God calls a people together and the people understand that it's not about a person, it's not about a man, it's not about a woman, it's about a vision, then you don't leave the vision because Satan won a war. Because he might win a few, but he'll always lose in the end. And so they stood and they honored. And they talked about all the things that they did, but my favorite part is that he goes over to, do you remember the land? No. Where the kids are? Now I can't believe it, my mind went blank. Okay, Cindy, do you remember? Is it Thailand? We're gonna say Thailand. I think it's Thailand. Okay, so over there, all these children, the parents can't afford to keep them. So the parents were selling them. Problem is, they were selling them and they were being human trafficked. So Bishop went over there and he found out about it. And these two little twin girls came and sat on his lap. And he looked into their eyes and he said, I'm going to buy you. I'm going to buy you back. And so he began to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to keep those girls and to keep many other children from that horrible lifestyle. Those children are now grown, married, serving the Lord. They were cared for, fed, clothed, taken care of all the days of their life because of one man who said, I'm not going to forget about you. Do you know that that's our Jesus? He saw mankind. He saw the need in eyes that were broken, who had no pathway of being able to be totally, fully restored to God. He saw that they were going to be abused and forgotten, and he said, I'll go. I'll go to the cross. It doesn't matter what it costs me. It doesn't matter what I suffer, because I know the end result is I'm going to bring restoration and I'm going to bring a rescue to the people. It says that for the the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Do you know that you're part of that joy? Do you know that you contain on the inside of you other people that are part of his joy? Do you know that when you leave here and you go out these doors, that someone is waiting for you? Because the knowledge that you have of God is rare these days. The knowledge of intimacy that we enjoy in this church, the knowledge of him, the presence of God, the way that we know the scriptures, you've been taught, you've been trained. We are containers of his glory. We understand who we are in Christ Jesus. And there are people that are remaining silent because there is so much opposition out there. But even those that oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ need to hear the truth to be set free. How will they hear without a preacher? And we are the voice. We are the trumpet. We are the glory carriers of a personal God. For God so loved the earth that he gave. You say, well, I care about what's going on in this nation. Well, do you? Do you? You know what's going to happen on November 3rd? Somebody's going to be mad. Some of you are already mad and you don't even know what the results are. I mean, you know, what the heck? I just want to announce to you, this is the year of the Lord. You know, with all of what we think is right, and we can choose, and we can vote, praise God, vote. That's all I got to say. And if you don't vote, shut up. Because you have no right to complain if you don't cast your vote. And then if you do cast your vote, and you're the one that you didn't want to get in gets in, guess what? It's still the year of the Lord. God is not going to fall off his throne with a big thump if your opposing party wins. It just depends on who you're putting your trust in. Do you trust in the man in the White House, or do you trust in the man upstairs? Amen. We have to get our perspective back. People are like, they want to beat each other. You can't even say who you're going to vote for if somebody wants to punch you. I mean, what is that? What? I mean, I like chocolate ice cream. Do you like vanilla? Okay, should I punch you? I just want to know. Okay, we have to stay centered on what is important to God. And you know that it is more important to God that you walk in love. Jesus, help me now. How do we, the body of Christ, represent Christ being so angry that we get up and walk away if someone has an opposing view? Okay, I just want to say, if you tried to watch the presidential debates, I don't know how many of you could endure that. That was the most horrendous depiction of America I have ever seen on both sides. I'm just saying, I'm glad it's the year of the Lord. Get your eyes off of people. You know, I'm not saying don't pay attention to the foundational truths of what they stand for. You better know who you're voting for and what they believe. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying don't figure out who you're voting for and why. You better figure out what they believe and what they're going to do. And then cast your vote. And then after that, pray. Well, no. Pray, cast your vote, then pray again. Okay? You'd be standing there in that booth going, oh, what do I do, Lord? What do I do, Lord? Then you cast your vote. Because you know what? God, he says, he puts kings in their place. Do you know that? Who are we putting our trust in? Come on. Well, you know they're going to mess with the votes. Well, who cares? God is going to mess with the votes then. You cannot This is all destruction. This is all to get us off a point. Do you understand that we are kingdom people? We serve a king, and we have things to do, and it's, we have, okay, the Lord said to me one day, this was quite a while ago, this was before horrible political stuff. Well, I don't know, it's been pretty horrible for a long time. But anyway, it wasn't about that. And the Lord said to me, I go, what is going on, Kyle? I don't seem to have the joy that I used to have. What's going on? He goes, you got too much of the world in you. I go, do you know who you're talking to? I mean, no offense, God, or anything, but I'm pretty good. I mean, like, I know I really don't like the world. I don't entertain the world. He goes, oh, no, you got the world in you. And I go, okay, well, you're God, so you must know something I don't. So what is it? And he said, that little box called a TV set and that media stuff. He goes, that's the world. He goes, if you're watching more of the world and letting the world inside of you more than you're letting me inside of you, guess who's winning? Hello, 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 hello. And so I had to repent. I said, it's true. Because even if you try to find something decent to watch, you know you have to file through things that aren't. Well, now maybe you don't, because you can. Now I preview everything. Don't believe PG-13. You better be watching those previews before you. What is with the language, people? Can I just say this? Get rid of the F-bomb. For the love of God. We carry power in our mouth. What are we saying? We're the church of the living God. Would you say that if Jesus was in the room? I just want to know. You're going to let that out of your mouth? I mean, maybe you don't think it's a big deal, but every time you say it, I see it. Okay, that's just a pet peeve of mine. But it's a pet peeve of God's too, because he said, you be holy as I am holy. Okay, we are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. I don't want to go around grieving the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go around making him go like that every day. Like, what are they thinking? If you sound and look and talk and act just like the world, why do they want your God? This is how all of this nonsense began. Doesn't matter what God you pick, just so you love them entirely. What? There's one way to heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven whereby men shall be saved. So either we believe this book or we should burn it. Let's don't burn it. Let's revere it. Please don't burn it. Please don't burn it. This is the words of life. This is the words of truth. These are the words of promise. This is how we get to live, with these words coming alive to us and saving us and rescuing us. Okay. You guys still good? God is worthy of honor, and honoring what he counts valuable is valuable. Now that is Adonism. You need to write that down. He is worthy of honor, and honoring what he counts valuable is valuable. You see, when we have our own value system that we just make up randomly, and we do, what do you value? Whatever you put your most attention to, whatever you give your money to, whatever you give your affection to, that's what you're honoring. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Hallelujah. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You see, whatever we do, can we do it unto the Lord? If we just had that thought in our mind every day, the year of the Lord, today, I am going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do it for you and not for anybody else. What does that look like today? What does it look like today to serve the Lord? we tend to think that Jesus paid the sacrifice so we don't have to sacrifice anything. Choose God's choices over our choices or honoring Him. Whenever we choose to act the way God would want us to act instead of the way we feel like acting in the moment, we're honoring Him. Do you know that that sometimes is a sacrifice of praise? How many of you think it's always easy to do what's right? See? No one. And yet we can do it. So Andrew Murray said it this way: the Lord Jesus did not offer up his own life and shed his blood to spare us from the sacrifice of our life. No, indeed, but to make the sacrifice of our lives possible and desirable. The hidden value of his blood is a spirit of self-sacrifice. You know, when I say that, the hidden value of his blood is the spirit of self-sacrifice, does anybody come to mind besides Jesus? Exactly. Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa had a spirit of self-sacrifice. Why do we still talk about Mother Teresa? Why? Why do we still honor that woman? Because we watched her. We heard her. We saw her sacrifice. Her entire life was a sacrifice to God to help the one. She knew she would never catch everyone. She didn't care about catching everyone. She said, no one is going to die without being loved. So if I love them while they're dying in my hands, they'll know what love is. Where is the spirit of that now? Because we're more intent on what we can get instead of what we can give. She has so many quotes. I love all of her quotes. And you know why I love all of her quotes? Because she spoke them from her heart. You know, people can talk all day long with lots of words, but when you live what you talk, it takes root in somebody else's life. Where the blood really touches the heart, it works out in that heart a like spirit of self-sacrifice. Jesus came as a man, tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. Do you think that cost him? Tempted. That means he had to make a decision just like we have to make a decision. He had to make a decision to honor God. He had to make a decision to spend time with his Father. He had to make a decision that he knew what was going to happen to him. And he still made the decision needed for you. Andrew Murray, he continued, he said this: we learn to give up ourselves and our lives so as to press into the full power of a new life which the blood has provided. So we have to go back to understanding that our life is fulfilled by surrendering to God. You have to understand that the real war is holding on to what you think will fulfill you. It's in your mind. It's a battle of your mind. But when you choose him, the battle is only there until you decide to surrender. Do you know that? How many times has God asked you to do something you didn't want to do? Have you ever had that fight with God? Well, one honest person, thank you, two people. And God says, I want you to stop doing that. Well, I don't want to stop doing that. I like doing that. He goes, okay, you can do it if you want. It'll just cost you more of the anointing. Well, I'm done. As soon as God says that, I'm done. I don't care what he asks for. I want his presence more than I want anything else. Amen? That's who he's looking for, those people who just said amen. He's looking for you because you're going to be a depiction to other people. Okay. Once you choose him, once you do, it doesn't even matter. It's not even a temptation anymore. You see, once you draw that line of demarcation, you shouldn't even be tempted anymore because you already made that decision. It's a final decision I'm not willing to turn around from. He said, we give our time in order that we may become acquainted with the things in God's word. Do you know that time is the one thing that we can never recover from the day before? We can't recover time, unfortunately. We all have been given the same amount of time, and we can't get it back. Whatever we give our day to, it's gone. If you give your day to worry, if you give your day to the news, if you give your day to, I don't know, wrong thinking, if you give your day, what about giving your day to God and to helping other people? Whatever you give your day to, that time matters. It's one of the very things that God has given us. How we use our time is going to make the difference in somebody's life. I was talking to someone the other day, and she said, she was telling me a story about her little boy. And he's eight. And so I pray they come to this church because they need to be at this church. I really connected with her. But anyway, she was saying, my little boy is asking me all these questions. He's asking me questions about heaven. He's asking me about angels. He's asking me about all these things. And I don't quite know, you know, I don't know all the answers for him. But she said, he's really hungry. Well, she didn't use the word hunger because she doesn't, that's my word. Okay. He's really curious. And I said, and she goes, and then we went over to my sister's house, and she married this minister. And so we were getting ready to eat. And so he said, everybody close your eyes, and we're going to pray over the food. And she said, I kept one eye open looking at my kid. And she said, so he's praying, and he's praying, and he's praying. And she goes, and all of a sudden I see tears coming down my little boy's face. And she goes, I ask him afterwards, like, why were you crying while he prayed over the food? And he goes, I don't know. And I said, I know. I said, that's why I'm here today. I'm here to tell you why he's crying. She goes, why? I go, because he's seeking God and he knows his presence. Because he's seeking God and he knows his presence. You see, when you are a carrier of God and you love him, you create an atmosphere by which God opens up hearts to receive what you're saying. And even if they don't understand it, they'll want more. And I said, we have a good children's department. Here's my card. This is it right here. You need to come be a part because we love children. And our children know how to pray and get in the presence of God. Because it starts when you're a little. And I said, if you don't fill that hole and that desire with what he's desiring right now, Satan will be glad to fill it with some substitute. Yeah. Okay, that's all I'll say about that. We separate ourselves from sin and worldly mindedness and self-will so that the power of God may not be hindered. For it is just these things that the blood of Jesus Christ sought to remove from our life. You see, we're in a time when we have to be looking through the eyes of the Lord. Now, I'm going to say some things, and I'm going to explain what scripture I'm going to read so that you don't get upset with me. This is the word of God, not me. I didn't write it. 1 Peter 4:17. For the moment has come that judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. And if it first began in us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? These are the scriptures nobody preaches on. Nobody likes to preach this. Nobody likes to talk about judgment. Everybody wants to talk about grace. Everybody wants to talk about mercy. Everybody wants to talk about the goodness of God, and all of those things are true. But this is my Bible. And it says, the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. For if it first began at us, then what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? This is a word to the people of God. Judgment has to begin in the house of the Lord. How many people out there are preaching that won't tell the truth that there's a heaven and there's a hell? How many people are saying it doesn't matter if you sin, they're all covered and you never have to be accountable for sin? You're going to be accountable for sin at the judgment day. But the judgment is beginning now in the house of the Lord, that God is saying, don't call yourself a Christian and don't lead other people if you can't be led by me. Okay, I'm going to read you what judgment means, because I know we don't like to hear about judgment. We don't even understand what it means, but it comes from the name krima. And it's a decision against the function or the effect of a crime. And crime is an offense, especially against morality, something foolish or disgraceful. Do you understand what I just read to you? Judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment is a decision against the functionality of those that are actually saying that they are presenting truth when they are actually committing a crime against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the crime is an offense against morality, of saying foolish things and being disgraceful to our God. Now, if we're going to honor God for his sacrifice, we're going to have to desire to honor him with our actions, with our functionality, with what we say, with how we act, with what we do. Why am I doing this? I really hate doing this. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. Love confronts to the highest good. If I, your pastor, am not willing to tell you that you need to examine your life and make sure God is a deciding factor for it, who's going to tell you? I don't mess around about God. I love people. I love them so much that it hurts me. I love you so much, it hurts me. And it hurts me when I see you choosing ways other than following God. Because I believe I carry the heart of the Father. I believe that you can too. I believe this is the season. We are in the year of the Lord, therefore, the Lord must be reverenced. And how do we reverence him? By the way we respond to him. The next verse says, 1 Peter 4:18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So I looked up the word scarcely. If the righteous scarcely be saved, it means with difficulty and with much work. You see, oh man, you have to work at righteousness. I mean, okay, Salvation is a free gift. How many of you know that? You don't have to work for salvation. You just get it when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But then there's a sanctification part. This part of denying self. This part of choosing God even when it's hard to choose God. You know, I have had pain in my life quite a bit. And when I had my second hip replaced, or was it the first hip? I think it was the first hip. And Beth was at my house, and I mean to tell you, I really did think about going to see Jesus. And as a matter of fact, he said, you can go if you want. You have to decide. I'll honor your will. And I go, let me think about that then, because maybe I want to go. I stayed for you. And for you. I said, I'm staying for my family and I'm staying for my church. I'll stay, but I need to get out of this pain, please, you know? And so even though by his stripes I'm healed, how many of you know in this world we have tribulations? And Beth said, I'd come over to your house and here's what you would say. I don't care what the devil thinks. He is never going to get me to say that God isn't good and that he's not my healer. You know what that is? That's grit. That's what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That means I'm taking the word of God and I'm applying it to my life. And even if it's difficult to apply it to my life, you're not going to ever get me to say that my God failed me. Or that he isn't good and that his stripes mean nothing to me. Because that is not true. And as you sat here in January and saw God restore my no voice into a voice for him, you saw the miracle come forth that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel of good news, and he hasn't shut me down. So no matter what he comes up with, Satan's going to keep losing and losing and losing, because I'm going to keep choosing and choosing and choosing. And God is looking for those people who will say, I choose God. I choose his word. I choose his promise. I choose his ways. I choose his righteousness. I choose to obey. And that's the church that he's building, because he's about ready to bring a reformation and a restoration. See what happens? Let's keep going. 1 Peter 4:16. If anyone suffers as a Christian, you mean we have to suffer as a Christian? Bad news, right? Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Now, suffer here means to experience a sensation or an impression, to be vexed. How many of you have been vexed about some things lately? Oh, my goodness. You see, Satan can't, he's not going to destroy, he cannot keep us sick. He can come to bring sickness, but when we stand upon the word, we get healed. Okay, so, but here's what he does. He plays with your mind. He comes to vex you up. He comes to keep you in turmoil. He comes to get you confused. He comes to bring chaos. He comes to bring depression. He comes to bring oppression. And these are things that we don't always recognize until we're so far down in the pit that we have to climb out and it's harder. But if you just know this is the tools of the devil, you can be ready. And so he comes to vex us up. It's in our soul. It's a battle of the mind. And we have to constantly be pulling down the lies of the enemy. But we can overcome. So we surrender ourselves wholly to God in prayer and in faith. That's what you have to do. You have to make a decision to live and walk in faith so we don't think our own thoughts. You know you have thoughts, right? You have thoughts. Satan gives you thoughts. And God gives you thoughts. You better be particular about which ones you entertain. Okay. Okay, let me finish here. This is so hard. All of this stuff is good. I should just make a book. If Jesus had to sweat in his obedience to God, we have to understand that there is a pushing through to the will of God that feels like suffering to us. You understand? Jesus took the suffering upon him and will never have to pay the same price that he did, because he took all the sins of the world on the cross. We could never do it. And we'll never have to. But he knew what was coming. He knew that they would turn against him. He knew he'd be betrayed. He knew what Isaiah said, that they would beat him so that his face was so marred he didn't even look human. He knew what they said. But love brought him to the other side for us. And so no matter what price we pay, it could never be as much of a price as he paid. But now, this is the focus we have to have. The church has to focus on bringing forth God's will on the earth. You're called right now, and you're anointed, and you're appointed, and you have a purpose, and you have a destiny. And you have the presence of God, and you have to stop thinking so small, and you have to quit thinking about this area right here, and you have to think about this area out there where God is releasing who he is to people that are wondering where he's gone. You know, all those people that are so pent up with anger and they're just venting, and the only way they know how, it's just because no one's told them how to focus. There is something so much better that you can focus on. There is someone so much better. He can keep you. He will never leave you. He will never, in fact, he will alleviate your past from you. He will take all of the horrors that anybody's ever done to you in your entire life, and he will swipe them away with his love and with his blood. He will cover them and you will be free from all of the torment of the past. You don't have to keep reliving what someone said, reliving what someone did, reliving what you think is happening right now. When we focus on Jesus, Jesus becomes the ruler of our soul, and our soul is healed. He has brought us out of Egypt and brought us into the promised land, where there is an abundance for us to experience. Where I told you a couple weeks ago when I asked Reveille, what is your most favorite moment with God? And she said, the moment that I laid hands on somebody who needed it, and they received, and I felt the surge of God move through me, and that person was changed. You see, this is your desire, whether you know it or not. The secret desire of your heart is to be a vessel that God encompasses, takes over, and uses you to bring someone else to freedom. That is who you are. All of you. People are suffering from an identity crisis, but here's who you are. Sons and daughters of the Most High God that can have the power of God surge through you to change a life in a moment of time. That is what is worth it all. When one person comes to know the Lord, when one person gets their miracle, when one person gets healed, when you are the vessel that is being used, there is no other substitute that is better than that, because you know it had nothing to do with you except for obeying. Obeying the Lord and letting him run through you. Our God is a good God. Our God is a miraculous God. Our God is a healer. Our God is good. And it's about time for him to be able to flow through you the way he is desiring to flow through you. And it will take your choice. Just keep choosing him. Just keep loving him. What we have to do is seek him with all of our heart. Now, I want to make this statement. What was relevant for us in the last season may have little use or relevance in this season. And that means this. The way we've always done things, it was good. And we've got a lot of people saved in this church. We've got a lot of people healed in this church. We've had a lot of miracles in this church. That's good. We have a lot of fellowship in this church. We love each other. It's good. Those things are not going to change. But what's going to change is the intended passion for God. What has to change is our intentionality. Our focus has to be not on us, but on him and what counts to him the most. And what counts the most to him is loving God and loving others the way he loves them. That means we wake up and we are intentional about our day. You see these boxes? Anybody ever heard of Franklin Graham? So these are Christmas boxes. Someone in our congregation bought the boxes for you. Now, all you have to do is fill them up. And we are going to send them back, and they are going to be given to children. Do you think that's a great idea? Do you think that's a God idea? They even made it so easy for... Do you know that if you're too lazy to go to the store, you can go online and order the box. And you pick what you want to go in your box, and they'll do it for you. I never saw anything, so it's just awesome to me. I'm like, last year I filled my box online because I'm like... But I like feeling it in my hands. I like getting the stuff. So if you want to give money to buy the stuff, we can put it together here at the church. So, but how we've operated in the past season has to shift into a greater good. We have to stop seeing people as our enemy. Do you know that even the worst of people, how many of you think you're so nice every minute of the day that everybody loves you? I see people raising their hands. I don't know about that. So how many of you want somebody to love you even when you're being pretty awful? Amen? Okay, so that's how we're supposed to be towards them. You don't know what's going on in anybody's life. I remember walking through Macy's when my mother was dying, and I was just so distraught. And I became so aware that no one in the store knew that I was going through a loss. They didn't know that I was in Macy's, but I wasn't in Macy's. You know what I mean? And you know what it did? It made me so aware that no one knows what anybody standing next to them is going through. And so when somebody gets nasty, you don't know why. Maybe they're facing something that is incredible in their life, and maybe you're the answer. So instead of being mean, why don't you be nice? Maybe it's the time to present the gospel, and maybe it's just time for you to be smiley. Maybe you can just say, is there anything I can pray for you for? Just be aware of where we're going, and then let the power of God surge through you to meet their need. Daniel 11:32 says the people who know their God will be strong and carry out exploits. And the exploits just means this: make productive use of. You know, we always say, oh, I'm going to do exploits. And then we always define exploits as signs, wonders, and miracles are going to come through me. Here's what it is. Make productive use of your time and let God do what only he can do, and let him do it through you. Productive use of your time. Do exploits. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste your finances. Use them so that God's name gets glorified on the earth. Amen? Amen. All right. Goodbye, 16 pages. I don't know what to say. I believe that this is the season and this is the time God is awakening us in a new way. Don't miss your moment. It's the year of the Lord. Whatever the devil says, it's the year of the Lord. He can't steal from you. The devil cannot steal from you unless you offer it up to him. Instead of offering anything to him, let's offer it up to our God. Amen. So bow your head. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you're changing our intentionality. You're refocusing us back onto who you are and the power of who you are. And Lord, of coming back to honoring you with our life in every way. And so, Lord, we ask that you forgive us for not keeping you as the foremost thought in our life. Lord, right now, if you need to say this prayer, then just, you know, God knows who you are. He knows where you're sitting. He knows the sincerity of your heart. And if you say this with all sincerity, your life can change and your intentionality can change. Okay, so church, let's just say this together. Jesus, I am sorry for letting you be secondary. I want you to forgive me. I want you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, and cleanse me of unrighteousness, because today I choose righteousness. Now help me, Lord, to follow through with my commitment. But I thank you in advance that I don't have to be perfect. I just have to know that you are. And I receive your forgiveness and your grace, but I also receive your strength and your wisdom as I make this determination to love you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.